This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Okay, so this is going to be kind of a two-part little talk we have here before we get into the Butler assassination in a few minutes, and there's just so much more we have to get to on the show, dark money, all kinds of things. I want to talk about immigration and the liberal white woman. Let's first address this part of it. We're going to go to the very beginning of this. This is a concept that is as old as time itself and something we've talked about before. Tyrants. Evil men who are in positions of power in any country, they want foreigners to come in as fast as humanly possible. It's always been this way. I think it was friggin' Plato was talking about this. It's a very simple concept to understand. If I'm an evil person in charge and I want to burn down America, I only have to concern myself with people who love America. Americans who love America. People who have a loyalty to it. They're my only threat. If I can bring in people who don't have that same affinity for America or for whatever country I'm in charge in, well, then I'm on a gravy train with biscuit wheels. I'll promise to give them a little bit of cheddar cheese as I'm looting the country, and nobody's going to stop me. It's been done a million times before. It'll be done a million more times throughout history. The mass importation of disloyal foreigners is not one issue. It's not a side issue for the globalist communists trying to destroy Western civilization. It is everything. It is the foundation. It is the concrete. It is the rebar. It is the central pillar. With it, they cannot fall. Without it, they cannot succeed. Without the mass importation of foreigners, communists cannot succeed in destroying America. So, the Trump administration, for all the crap they're getting, and some of it's deserved, the way they've fumbled the Epstein stuff, we've already talked about that. For all the crap they're getting, let's acknowledge something. They are going after illegals. Is it as fast as it has to be? No, not yet, but it takes time to build the machine. They're going after illegals. They're going after them hard. We're already at over 2 million year one. Let's hope that number increases year after year. They're doing it. And the communists inside the United States of America, you know what they're watching? They're not just watching illegals be deported. They're watching their power evaporate. That's what they're actually watching. They're watching their power slowly fade away. Every time an illegal gets deported from the country, a communist who hates the country loses power. And that's why they're out there warning you about masked men.
But also at the same time, in our states and many others, are sending masked, armed individuals to snatch law-abiding residents off the streets as their own children scream in terror.
And these ICE agents running around our communities like masked bank robbers, terrorizing women.
This is not what we want in our country. This is not what we voted for. Maybe in Chile under the dictatorship, maybe in other dictatorships like North Korea and China and Iran, but in this country, we don't have masked armed agents ripping civilians out of their cars.
We have witnessed masked gunmen kidnapping our neighbors off the streets, and my understanding is they're outside waiting to do it again.
Are Republicans really that stupid to think that you can have masked men going around the country beating up brown people and throwing them in unmarked cars?
Now, you know why they speak that way. Well, they want the mass importation of foreigners, but there's another aspect to it. You have to sell that. You have to sell the mass importation of foreigners, because Americans are going to obviously push back on such a concept. In order to sell that, you need to find someone to sell it to. Who are the people in America who are so stupid, brainwashed, and naive they will accept that you should bring in a bunch of gang rapists from Guatemala? Well, they're known as liberal white women. They just busted up a child trafficking ring in Charlotte. It's friggin' horrible. It's like the worst thing you've ever seen. But that may have made you happy. It may have made me happy, but not the liberal white woman.
I'm a member of several groups here in Charlotte that are working behind the scenes to make sure that our migrant community, immigrant communities are safe while conditions are icy. So I'm here along with a bunch of other concerned people to make sure that families feel safe, that children get home safe, and that families know that they don't have to come out and put themselves at risk while this is happening.
Very coordinated effort.
What do you think about that, like that effort to do this?
I think that it's abhorrent that we have to do it, but the response has been incredible in the community, and I'm so glad that people are stepping up and putting themselves out there to protect our neighbors and our friends and community members.
Anything else you'd like to say?
Trump, can I say that?
If you're an evil tyrant in America, anywhere around the world, you have to find someone to sell your evil demonic ways to. And fortunately for you, there are millions and millions of American liberal women who are so dumb, manipulated, easily manipulated, that you can sell them filling up their own community with gang rapists, and they will buy it. Truly just broken. And that's what we're up against. You need to put your money where your morals are. So do I. This is something we have been better about in recent years, but we can always improve, right? Everyone has a cell phone. Everybody does. Shoot, I've got four of them now in my family. Family of four. Everyone has a mobile plan. And we all think that we have to have AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon. Surely we have to have those, otherwise we'll have bad coverage, right? Pure Talk is on the same towers. When I tell you to switch to Pure Talk, I hope you don't think I'm asking you to sacrifice anything. Pay less. Pay the cell phone company, the mobile company that shares and promotes your values. Keep your phone or get a new one, whatever you want. Keep your phone number. It's easy. And you can save a pile when you go to puretalk.com/jessetv. Veteran-led. They hire Americans. Put your money where your morals are. puretalk.com/jessetv. Well, as I've talked about before many times, and I'm going to keep talking about, I'm not dismissive of the issues you care about or I care about, but we always have to keep in mind issues that actually win and lose us elections. I'm an abortion freak, you know. I'm how pro-life I am. But that doesn't move people to the polls. That will not decide the midterms. It just won't. You know what will? Inflation and immigration. Donald Trump's in the White House. We have the House and Senate because of inflation and immigration, specifically the American people's anger over those two things. So let's always keep that in mind. In fact, let's talk to Chip about that right now. Joining me now, congressman from the state of Texas, going to be attorney general in the state of Texas if all goes well, Congressman Chip Roy. Chip, what is the PAWS Act?
Well, great to be on, Jesse, and you couldn't be more correct with respect to the issues that are going to matter next year in the election. Inflation and affordability is obviously a huge one, but so is immigration and continuing to do what we said we would do. The president and his team, obviously Tom Homan, Stephen Miller, the secretary, the fine folks at ICE and Border Patrol have been doing a great job stopping the egregious flow at the border. It's basically triage, right? Like, let's just stop the flow, stop the bleeding. And now they're doing a lot of the removals. ICE is engaged. Are we removing as people as fast as you and I would prefer? No. But are we still removing tens of thousands of people? Yes. That's a good thing. Self-deportations are occurring. We're going to have to keep, following that, studying that, and having oversight to make sure we know how many people are going. But then there's this issue of legal immigration. So you ask about the PAWS Act. I'm introducing legislation this week that would pause all legal immigration with the exception of short-term tourist visas, to basically say we need to review our entire system from top to bottom. We should make sure that we are fixing the abuses of H-1B visas, which have been extraordinary. We should end diversity and chain migration, the diversity visas and chain migration, which allow for this, cousins and brothers and sisters and extended family members that then piggyback on someone who comes into the United States. We should fix the magnets to the interior of illegal immigration, including Plyler v. Doe, which was a bad decision in the 1980s, saying that we must fund illegal aliens in our schools. It was a Texas case. We should end the broken birthright citizenship rule and instead make it to where it's very clear that if you're born to an American citizen, you're a citizen, but not just because you're on American soil, because it's a magnet for people to come here illegally. And importantly, last but not least, we need to continue to explore what I put forward in a separate piece of legislation, vetting people for adherence to Sharia law. We should make sure that the people who are coming here are not adherent to Sharia law. We should remove those who are. And if we do those things and others, frankly, then we can unpause immigration once we fixed it to work right. But we have 51 million people in our country who are foreign born, 16 to 17% of the population. It's higher than it's ever been. We don't have an education system teaching people that America is great. So let's pause. Let's restructure our system. Let's you know, take a deep breath, and let's get American workers back into the workforce. Let's support an America First workforce rather than a corporate-driven one.
Chip, there's so much of that I want to take apart with you. Let's focus on the first part of it, the abuses of the H-1B visa, because so many normies out there who just don't understand, maybe they're not political nerds like you and I are, They hear about H-1B visas, they think, well, these are just some highly trained engineer from Mumbai. Surely we have to have that guy or the United States of America will collapse. We simply won't be able to program Microsoft Word again this year. Is that what all these things are? What abuses are you talking about?
Yeah, first of all, we should also make sure that we've got high-skilled workers that are being created here at home. Okay, so let's start there. And one way to do that is to stop the flow of the corporations bringing people in H-1Bs and improving our education system and increasing the demand so that Americans will do it. But secondly, it's not being used that way. That's a falsehood. H-1Bs are often used for entry-level positions. They are shockingly for large numbers of people that are positions that you would think would be the basic positions you could hire any number of Americans for, and they're not. And so that's being abused, and it's being abused heavily by corporations who simply want to be able to bring people in, and they get tax advantage for doing it, and they're undermining the American people from being able to get the employment they deserve. So we need to reform that system. And there are ways to do that. And we've got legislation we're going to be introducing separately to do that. But the PAUSE Act says, pause, fix H-1Bs, fix the other issues I went through a minute ago. And then we can take a breath and decide if we want to reopen legal immigration in a month or two or six or in 5 years. I mean, let's pause. Let's truly pause and take stock of the current state of our country.
What about birthright citizenship, Chip? Yeah. This is something I've heard Trump mention before. I know you've talked about it before. It's just so nakedly absurd that you can sneak across the border and crap out a kid right in the state of Texas, and that kid will be an American citizen, and his 85 kids will be an American citizen forever. It's so ridiculous beyond belief and a gross misinterpretation of an amendment that was made for freed slaves. Are we stuck under this ridiculous ruling forever?
No, I don't believe so. And first of all, let's remember that all we've got is one opinion that was not dispositive on the issue generally from the 1890s that frankly got it wrong and misinterpreted the previous Supreme Court rulings in a way that I think is bearing a false notion that this is even a thing. Right now, the president is right with his executive order to say that there is no such thing as birthright citizenship from the standpoint of being a citizen just because you came here and were born here, but rather that you are considered a citizen if you are born of an American citizen. Congress should state that clearly. We should make sure that we, you know, get that and fight the courts to make sure that that's the law. That would be the law. I think the court would uphold that because the Constitution does not conflict with that in the slightest bit. And I think it's common sense. If you ask the average American, they'd say, yeah, if you're born an American citizen, you're a citizen. But you know, if you're born on American soil, just because, as you noted, somebody just comes across the border, has a kid in our hospital that we're paying for, and then suddenly they're a citizen, or you know, the Chinese communists have, you know, corporate machines that they use for profit centers to fly people over here, have babies, and then get this Chinese national in American citizenship, that's absurd. And look, I asked a Democrat witness in a hearing today that we had on the census. We should have a whole nother segment on the census and how badly it was done in 2020 and how skewed it is to blue states and liberal jurisdictions. But I asked the Democrat witness to be clear, if 75 million people flooded into California illegally, you think, the witness, you think they should be counted They should be counted for census purposes and therefore apportionment, and therefore California should get 100 new representatives. That Democrat witness said, yeah, that's what the Constitution says, which is totally bogus, not true, but that's what they think. They want that so they can, you know, beef up their representation, and that's exactly what happened after the last census. We're down at least 10 to 15 seats just because of stupidity in the census.
Speaking of people pouring into our country and changing the country, we have the Muslim call to prayer 5 days a week in Dearborn, Michigan. The American people are slowly starting to wake up to the fact that we have an Islamist problem in this country, and what in the world are we going to do about it, Chip?
Yeah, Jesse, look, this is actually probably the number one reason that I'm running for Attorney General of Texas, is we've got to take immediate action to defend Texas, because it's not just Dearborn, it's not just Minneapolis, it's not just London and Paris, it's not just Mamdani in New York, it's Texas. And it's Texas not just because of what you're hearing in the headlines with Epic City up in Plano, or the new Islamic Center down in Houston where you are, which is, what, 150,000 square foot, you know, monstrosity. It's 300 mosques across the state of Texas. It's good friends of mine in Plano that are also listening to those prayer calls coming out of a mosque in Plano, Texas, just north of Dallas. This is real. It's concerted. It's funded by the left. It's funded by Arabella, you know, Democrat operatives, the Soros funding groups, the Bill Gates Foundation, all of these outside groups. All of it's related. The same people that are pushing, you know, the Soros DAs, the leftist DAs, a lot of them are pushing this Islamification of Texas because it's the red-green, it's the Marxist-Islamist alliance that you see in Mamdani. They've got a plan, and we can't win a war we're not willing to recognize exists. I recognize it exists. I've introduced legislation to take away the tax status for CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. I've introduced legislation to vet people for Sharia law. I've introduced the bill, or I'm going to introduce this week, to pause immigration while we make sure we do in fact vet it. And we've got to then go after the money, follow the money, knock the knees out from under it, and stop hiding behind the First Amendment. This is a political movement. They want to take over our country. They want to undermine Western civilization. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm a proud Christian. I love this country. And we got to stand up and defend it and stop hiding behind the First Amendment to allow the takeover of our country.
Finally, before I let you go, Chip, we started out talking about it. Affordability. I know that we have a bunch of loser weenies in the Senate and a very slim majority in the House. We do have midterms coming up a year from now. And if burgers still $6 a pound, we're going to get our clocks cleaned. Is there anything we can do about affordability realistically that we're not doing now? What should we be doing?
Yeah, first of all, we've got to allow some of the policies that we implemented in the Big Beautiful Bill, cutting taxes, getting the economy going, get everything revving. We're going to have to unwind, and some of that takes time. So part of it is just being really confident in going out and campaigning that we're doing the hard work and the president's doing a good job. But we also need to pass more legislation. We either need to blow up the filibuster and pass it in the Senate, or we need to use reconciliation again. But we can't just sit on the sidelines. We've got to pass real legislation. The president is right. We got to deal with housing affordability. Stop letting private equity and financial shops and foreigners buy up our housing stock. That would be a really good, effective way to immediately increase housing supply. Number two, let's make sure that we're going after the affordability with respect to healthcare. Just massively change the system to get us out from under the broken Obamacare system by expanding health savings accounts, equalizing the tax treatment for everybody so that you get the same tax break that big corporations get. Stop bundling subsidies to insurance companies. Empower patients to be able to go to doctors of their choice. We can do that. We have all the legislation. We just have to go do it. But stop running away in fear and go on offense. And finally, you want to deal with groceries. You've just got to make sure that we're creating competition and that we're making sure that we're growing more stuff here at home. We should stop allowing the Chinese communists to own our farms and our ranches and our meatpacking facilities, free up our local farmers to get more stuff directly to market. And then once you do all that and get the economy going, we'll be in good shape. But we've got to address affordability, because right now, healthcare is consuming about a third of our government resources and huge chunks of the average American family's budget. So we got to make those changes, and we can, and we should. But it takes boldness among people here in Congress to do it.
Thank you, Chip. Come back soon, brother. I love snacks. And when I snack, everyone who knows me knows what I'm going for. I'm going for chips. When I say snacks, I don't mean crackers. I don't mean pretzels. I don't want fruit. I want chips. But chips are terrible for you. They just are. They're awful for you. What do you do then? Well, here's what I do. You find one that's delicious and good for you. Almost impossible to find until Massa Chips. Massa Chips don't have 8,000 ingredients giving you cancer and bloating you every time you eat them. Massa Chips have three. All kinds of different flavors. I grab a bottle of hot sauce, a bag of Massa Chips. I sit down, watch a little something on the TV, and I will wipe out the entire bag. They're fantastic. Even my young, junk food-loving son freaks out when the new box of Massa Chips gets to the house. Go try them. Want to save a bunch of money on them? MassaChips.com/JesseTV.
The Biden administration started the affordability crisis, and my administration is ending it. I'm ending it. Prices are way down. Our energy prices are way down. And, you know, despite hamburgers being a big business, energy is one business that's bigger. When you get energy down, everything else is affected. If you start bringing the price of gas, that's like a massive tax cut. Prices at McDonald's are coming down. It's moving down. Unfortunately, they were so high in the last administration that people aren't that happy because it was so high. So even though it's coming down and coming down a lot, they want to see where it was, like when I was president. And we'll be getting it very close to that number, maybe even better, depending on what we do with energy. But the energy's coming way down.
Okay. Joining me now, Lydia Moynihan, New York Post financial correspondent. Okay, Lydia, Donald Trump is certainly no moron. He's a man who understands that people want prices down, and really that's the big reason he's in the White House. As much as I love other things about him, and you probably do as well, he's in the White House because things got too expensive and people can't go out to Red Lobster now.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the Epstein files. That's not why he got elected. It is because the economy was tanking under Joe Biden for the average American. I mean, inflation hurts working class people more than anybody else because it's basically eating your wages. You have much less purchasing power. So look, I think the Trump administration is doing, to the most part, everything they possibly can. I think they're deregulating, which is helpful for the economy. They're making sure that we can drill and get access to energy. That's taking prices down as well, and we'll have sort of a spillover effect. But it does take time for these things to happen. And the other thing is that inflation is almost impossible to reverse, right? If you're speeding down the highway at, let's say, an inflation rate of 10 miles per hour, that was basically what inflation was at under Biden, and you slow down, you're going 9 miles an hour, you're still moving, right? You're just not moving quite as quickly. But to actually go back and reverse prices to what it was before the pandemic isn't really feasible, unfortunately. And so, again, I think we're going to be in much better shape than if Biden or Kamala Harris was running the country. But I don't think that we're going to get back to pre-COVID levels anytime soon. And I also think it takes more than 9 months to see the impact of these policies.
So, Lydia, does that put us in kind of an economic slash political game of chicken, if you will, where voters are still mad that they can't afford what they could afford 5 years ago? That's why they tossed Democrats out. But we have midterms coming up next year, as you well know. We have 2028 election that's not that far away, as you know. Are they now going to look at those same prices and say, hey, you Republicans are sitting in office and you didn't get me back to Red Lobster. It's your fault now. Or are they just going to start getting used to it?
Well, first, I reject the notion that it's Red Lobster. I think they also want to go back to Olive Garden. No, but look, yeah, the rent is still too damn high here. And what I've been thinking a lot is the affordability issue. That has become the buzzword since Zoran Mamdani made it the buzzword here in New York City, where everything is really expensive. And I think conservatives and Republicans have a tendency to basically say, oh, well, we also want to subsidize things. We also want to make sure that the government gets involved to help you. And I think what Republicans need to do is take a step back and point to the facts. And the facts are that anytime government gets involved in any industry, whether it is healthcare, whether it's subsidizing childcare, whether it's food stamps, whether it's housing, Education is another huge example. As soon as the government gets involved and tries to start subsidizing that for people, the prices go up. So if you look at over the last 30 or so years, the prices of everything that government gets involved with, those are skyrocketing. Meanwhile, the prices of things like technology or clothing, anything that the private sector does, those prices go down. So I think we need to have a bit of a framework, sort of adjustment, if you will, because I think Republicans are too quick. They want to make voters happy, and they're too quick to say, oh, yeah, let's make sure that you have enough food stamps or this or that. And I think we need to take a step back and message the fact that, as Reagan said, government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. And I think that's going to be so much more compelling because, you know, you have here in New York, Soren Mamdani, who's basically saying, oh, there is no problem too big or too small that government can't solve. That is a terrifying statement, right? And so I think Republicans really need to message government is the problem. We want to get out of your way. And I think the good thing, actually, Trump is not an ideologue. He just likes to find solutions that works. And so I think right now he is proposing all kinds of solutions. The 50-year mortgage was not well received, I think, for good reason. But I think it's not a bad idea. Throw it out. If somebody wants a 50-year mortgage and that's going to make them happy, it's a free country. Let them do it. But to your point, I mean, the issue is that any of these economic policies, especially when it comes to deregulating, it takes a long time to see the impact, right? And so it's easy to sell socialism. It's free, free, free. You know, you get a car and you get a car. And it's a little bit harder to sell, no, in the long run, you're going to end up like Venezuela if that's what you do. And one other thing that I've been thinking about as well, I've been seeing some conservatives, for instance, kind of go after. So BlackRock has been buying up a lot of single family homes all across the country. And people are pointing to that as one example of corporations basically making life more expensive for everyone. But this is the issue, and this is, again, what conservatives need to debunk. It's sort of the stage one thinking Thomas Sowell talked about. You basically think corporations buying something bad or government helping good. You just think about the first stage, and you don't think about the long-term repercussions. And if you think about it, actually, the fact that, you know, you have these companies now looking to buy companies, that has spurred development. One of the big issues is over the last couple decades, we haven't had a tremendous amount of new homes built. So now you actually are seeing a lot of development happening because those people know, well, you know what? There's going to be a buyer. I can make this bet because somebody is going to swoop in and get this. And so that's actually spurring development. I've heard some conservatives say they want to ban that. I think that would be a bad idea, right? And so again, I think we just need a message. The free market is always the best and the cheapest and the most affordable solution. When you have government, that makes it complicated, right? In New York, there was a great piece in the Free Press. There's 50,000 apartments that are just sitting vacant because of government regulation. Government here in New York basically passed something saying you can't raise rents a certain amount. And there's all of these landlords who now are like, well, why would I rent this out? I can't afford to renovate it, to rent it out at that price. The numbers aren't going to work. So I'm just going to sit here and keep the apartment and not let it rent. And that's, of course, another example of government interfering and raising prices.
Yeah, take it from an old guy who's bought and sold several homes. Please don't take out a 50-year mortgage if you're watching this. Please, please do the math on what you would actually pay for that. I'm begging you, don't take out a 50-year mortgage. I just my blood pressure can't handle the idea of that. But I do want to talk to you about New York City. Oh, gosh, I know. I do want to talk to you about New York City, a place I dearly love. In fact, I'm going to be there in 2 weeks. And I'm concerned that this is going to be my last visit, Lydia, because it's getting filthy. The whole place smells like pee or weed. And it's awful. Last time I was there, a homeless guy dropped his pants to his ankles and peed in front of me on the sidewalk. And it was noon in the middle of the day. And it's just freaking awful.
I saw that literally 2 days ago.
How much worse? Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. How much worse is it going to get?
I think a lot worse, not to be glum here.
Oh.
But if you think about Eric Adams, kind of feckless, kind of corrupt, but at least he wasn't embracing and pushing for defund the police and all of these crazy ideas that Zoran Mamdani clearly believes. He's like kind of walked them back in the last couple months, but there's literally 5 years of him tweeting, defund the police. The police are anti, you know, queer and racist. And there's dozens and dozens and dozens of times that he said that. So I think we could be pretty clear that, you know, what he was tweeting for 5 years is probably what he's going to do more than what he said in the last 2 months right before the election. But yeah, I'm really concerned. And it's interesting because we saw sort of one group of Republicans say, you know, oh, this is going to be great. Republicans can run on Mamdani and win the midterms. And isn't that going to be fabulous? New York is going to be a disaster. And we can point to that as how socialism fails. And I think Trump actually now is also saying he wants to work with Mamdani. And he was very clear during the primary that, no, we want to save New York. New York should be like a crown jewel of the United States. And that's what we want. So look, I don't know what's going to happen, but I guess so my hope is, and if you look at who voted for Mamdani, a lot of it is foreigners. In fact, if it had just been native-born Americans voting in this election, Cuomo would have won. If it had just been working-class people, Cuomo would have won. But it was a lot of foreign-born people who, for whatever reason, maybe felt that Zoran Mamdani reminded them of where they came from. I don't know. But there was a lot of sort of champagne socialists as well. And I read this story this week about how the mayoral victor in Seattle, running on a socialist platform, pretty similar to Mamdani, how her parents still give her money. And I have a theory that parents still giving their kids money is the root cause of most of the bad policy in America. And I say this because I have a lot of friends here. Again, parents subsidize their life. And what that has created is an entire class of voters who is completely untethered from any economic reality. They don't understand, oh, I don't want taxes to be raised because that would mean I would keep less of my money. There's no sort of critical thinking skills if you don't actually have to live with the consequences of your decision, right? If your parents are giving you money and you have a driver or you can afford to Uber everywhere, you're never going to have to face the fact that defund the police means you're not going to want to take the subway because it's spooky and people are going to show you parts of their body and do all these crazy things that you don't want to see, right? So people need to live in the real world. And this is such a prevalent thing here in Manhattan. You know, middle class or upper middle class kids from all over the country move here and their parents help them out. And then they just think it's chic to be a socialist. Because Emily Ratajkowski and the cool influencers are all talking about how, you know, hot girls are for Zoran, and they are completely removed from any reality of their decision. And that's another thing, actually, is it's a lot of transplants, people who moved here in the last 5 years, who voted overwhelmingly for Mamdani. It was not lifelong New Yorkers. So pretty interesting, kind of, as we've seen that breakout of who and where and why and whatnot, how Mamdani came to power. But yeah, don't give your kids money when they're 30. Like, it's just not a good idea.
Good God. Lydia, you know what else isn't a good idea? Taking the subway as a young woman. Why are you taking the subway? Get a freaking Uber or something. What's wrong with you?
I mean, it's expensive. That is the issue. You know what? I have gotten pepper spray, which of course is something technically illegal in New York City. You can't get it because why should you be able to protect yourself in a disgusting city that our horrible blue state leaders have created? So I do have that. But yeah, I also city bike a lot, which, it's funny, probably is more dangerous, but it feels a lot safer. No, one sort of, I guess, glimmer of hope. I don't want to be one of those people who comes on and talks about how the sky is falling and how horrible things are, because we still obviously are super privileged. If I could live any time or place, it would be still right about now. But Elise Stefanik, who has been such a voice of reason, she was the one, of course, who was grilling all of the university presidents about anti-Semitism on campus. She has announced her candidacy for governor here in New York. And the polling, again, a year's a long time, as we know, anything happens. Everyone thought Cuomo was going to win a year ago. But Stefanik's polling is very impressive. And people don't like Hochul. So I am very confident, actually, that she stands a very good chance of winning. Lee Zeldin, who I didn't think would get very far, he actually almost he came in very close to Hochul in the last election. So my hope would be that people in New York kind of start to wake up and literally look around. Like are people just, I don't know, blindfolded? Like, do they have their blinders on? I don't understand how somebody could walk through New York City and think like, I think we need a social worker. Like, how could you reach the conclusion that Mamdani is going to solve these problems? I'm honestly baffled by it. But I think hopefully there'll be a moment of waking up. And unfortunately, I think there's going to be some collateral damage in the interim. But I think Lee Stefanik stands a very good chance of winning. And ultimately, the governor does have a lot more power over the purse, the MTA, a lot of those things that we have to deal with in New York City than the mayor does.
Unfortunately, many of Mamdani's voters come from a place that's actually dirtier than New York City, and that's half the problem. Lydia, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I love chips. I'm a chip man. Everybody knows that that's what I dig on is chips. And when I walk in the gas station now, I actually can walk past the chip aisle. I never used to walk past the chip aisle. Why? Because I have Massa chips waiting for me at home. When I first heard about Massa chips, I was told that they're healthy because they only have three ingredients, right? There's no seed oils, it's tallow, and salt, and corn. You know what I heard when someone said healthy? Disgusting. No. Potato chips with three ingredients are everything for me now because Vandy Crisps figured out how to do them right. That's why you need to go try a bag. In fact, I would try every flavor they have. The Smokehouse is like their barbecue. That's really my jam. I like the plain ones. My son freaks out over the ones that taste like Italian dressing. They're freaking glorious. Go get some Vandy Crisps at vandycrisps.com/JesseTV. Freaking fantastic. Let's talk about the communists. Let's talk about the media. Let's just talk about, well, a conversation we've had before about their mentality versus your mentality. You know, it's a religion of destruction and domination. And they are really never happy. They're never really satisfied because there's always something else you can control so you can destroy it. This is how the communist operates. It's one of the things that helps him. It oftentimes hurts him as well because he can't control his demonic nature. But you know what's wild? When Republicans complain about media bias, they're favoring the left, you're being honest about that. You look out and you see all this bias favoring the left and you're angry. And you're totally correct about that. But you want to hear something wild? When Democrats complain about the media, they should be doing more. If you do better reporting, why aren't you helping us? You scoff and throw your hands up and say things like, you control 95% of it. What are you talking about? But here's the thing. They're being honest too. Because the communist doesn't want 95% of the media. The communist wants 100% of the media. And until he has complete control over every word on the news, in the newspaper, on social media, he's not happy. So when Summer Lee says things like this, she means it.
We need our electorate behind us, all parts of our electorate. We need the media, and we rarely have the media. So how this story gets told is going to be a really important piece right now. They're going to have to go up against all of Trump's media apparatus, right? Social media owned by his cronies, legacy media that always has a little bit of a skew bias towards both sidesism. Both sidesism always benefits Republicans.
I know, that sounds crazy. What's she talking about? But again, she's a communist. She doesn't want 95%. All things should be working on behalf of the revolution. And if there's even one tiny thing that's not, the communist feels that he is under threat. What's the result of this? I want you to watch Jimmy Kimmel, and more specifically, Jimmy Kimmel's wife. I want you to watch this.
Thankfully, my immediate family all, they did not vote for Donald Trump.
Okay.
They did the first time, a few of them. We flipped them the second time. It hurts me so much because of the personal relationship I now have, where my husband is out there fighting this man. And to me, them voting for Trump is them not voting for my husband and me and our family. And I unfortunately have kind of lost relationships with people in my family because of it. Mm-hmm. This is not just Republican versus Democrat for me anymore. Mm-hmm. It is, to me, it's family values. And I'm angry all the time, which isn't healthy at all. But I like personalize everything now. When I see these terrible stories every day, I'm immediately mad at certain aunts, uncles, cousins who put him in power. Yes. And it's really hard. And I wish I could like deprogram myself in some way.
She said it. And you know what's wild? You can tell she knows it. She's been programmed. This is the benefit the communist has when he controls everything. When he has the control of so many of these institutions, he can program dumb losers like that woman. And after she is programmed, she will lose valuable relationships with family. She will be miserable, angry, bitter all the time. And she'll know it too. She'll know. She'll wake up in the morning with a scowl on her face and go to bed at night with a scowl on her face, completely destroyed from the inside out. That's why the communist wants control of all messaging. And even a tiny little bit escapes his grasp, it drives him insane. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And we may not always love the specific language or specific targets Donald Trump uses or targets he goes after, but we will carry something on long after Donald Trump has passed. The treatment of the media. Forever, Republicans were taught to treat the media as if they were a little biased, but kind of misguided. Let's just be polite. Let's accept whatever communist framing they have, and we'll be polite. We have to answer the question, after all. But of course, that's a terrible way to treat your mortal enemy who lives and dies to destroy you every single day. You treat your mortal enemy as if he's your mortal enemy. And, well, sooner or later, these people are going to learn.
Mr. President, why wait for Congress to release the Epstein files? Why not just do it now?
You know, it's not the question that I mind, it's your attitude. I think you are a terrible reporter. It's the way you ask these questions. You start off with a man who's highly respected, asking him a horrible, insubordinate, and just a terrible question. And you could even ask that same exact question nicely. You're all psyched, or somebody psychs you over at ABC, they're gonna psych it. You're a terrible person and a terrible reporter. And ABC is your company, your crappy company, is one of the perpetrators. And I'll tell you something.
So why not just sign it now?
I think the license should be taken away from ABC because your news is so fake and it's so wrong.
Sir, yeah, Jennifer, is there something incriminating in the file, sir?
Quiet. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.